Good morning, everyone.
It was a long week. I thought Greg and I were going to have to gather up two of every animal in L.A. It was raining so hard, man. You should see me last night. I had to do carts at Trader Joe's. And so I was in full, like, galoshes and the whole rain getup. But we got it in. Thank you. Once again, to Greg, saving us. So thank you, Greg, for your help and for donating your time and your effort and your knowledge. But it's been a long week, but it's always so good to come here and kind of reset, reframe. And as usual, I loved what Judd said. Jesus says, "Let whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And that voice, that wisdom, that guidance could be from anyone, from anything. We have a tendency today and to like kind of be cynical and be like, oh, that's such a cliche. But the Lord is speaking to us constantly, calling us. It's up to us to hear and go. Jesus says there's two by the well. One is taken and one stays. Two are making bread. One is taken and one stays. But the person that's taken is hearing and going. And the other person is doing the same thing they always do. Playing video games, looking on TikTok, doing whatever it is, right? I want to be the person that has ears to hear and go where he's leading me. It's so true. Have your ears open. Have your heart ready to receive. This week, this is an addition. This is just the gravy right now, Hector. This isn't the real deal. But it's my niece's birthday. It was birthday like 2 weeks ago. And I wanted to do like a big show of something. So she wanted this big gift. And she hadn't got it, and so I was like, I want to show her that I love her, and that, you know, and I just want to shower her with praise and all that kind of stuff. And by getting this expensive gift, and I was talking with Emilio because we were going to go in on it together, and we were kind of talking about life, and I won't go into the particulars. And we were trying to decide if we were going to this other thing, and. And I felt like I was being reasonable. And Emilio was kind of saying, well, maybe we should do it like this. And I thought, well, no, I think we should do it like this. And I had my reasons. And me being me, of course there are good reasons. And I had my reasons. And everything that he said, I kind of tried to bring it back around. And in the moment, I couldn't really see what I was doing. But later, because I've been spending time praying, the Lord was able to reveal to me that I was in the wrong. I had hardness in my heart. I had decided the right way, and there was no amount of discussion that was going to sway me. At the time, I was thinking that I was being reasonable and explaining my reasonable reasons to a reasonable person. But in actuality, my mind was set. The decision was made. I was just going through the motions of pretending to listen. How much of our lives are already decisions that we've made, but we just pantomime the rest? And the beauty of it was, once I was able to realize what I was doing, once the Lord revealed to me the error of my ways, by giving in, not only did I feel like I had lost something, I felt like I had gained. How much of our lives, of people's lives, are believing they're right and trying to explain it to others? And they feel like if I'm a Democrat and I'm explaining to a Republican and I can't give any ground, because as soon as I'm wrong, they'll poke me full of holes. But that is erroneous in the worst possible way. It's static and keeps me right where I'm at. I have to be open and willing to listen, or I'll never grow. I'll never grow in my relationships. I'll never grow in my relationship with God. I'll never grow in my job, in my workouts, in any of it. We have to be amenable to the Holy Spirit and be able to admit that we're wrong. Only there is growth. And so I was talking with a coworker last night, and they were asking me, I can't remember what we were talking about. First it was aliens, ancient aliens or something. And he started asking me, like, oh, well, you know, I know you're a Christian. How do you, like, you know, square that circle? And I was like, well, you know, the beauty of my belief is that, you know, I don't know all the answers, so I'll find all of them. You know, if an alien comes down, that doesn't disprove the fact that Jesus came and died for me. It's, you know, just given the Spock symbol or whatever. But so we went on and on and on and on and on, and he was kind of asking me these probing questions about, you know, because in his mind, what Christianity is kind of very closed-minded. His perception of it is. And so he was trying to kind of, I think, poke holes. But I was able in that instance to be like, you know, not only is it not closed-minded, when I am acting in the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. I just have to check them with the Holy Spirit. Anyhow, it was a really, I don't know, I really felt good about it later, because he left in a very complimentary way. And that helped me, because my walk and our walk is the lifeblood of all that is good and right. And being able to walk with the Lord allows me so much peace and happiness that it's hard for me to explain to people who aren't feeling it at that time. But seeing his face after the conversation, and how somebody who was kind of antagonistic and standoffish a little bit at the beginning towards Christianity, being able to speak with him in a way that had a positive effect, validated to myself my own struggles and path. Did that make sense? There's so much division in the world. There's so much finger-pointing and blaming and proclamations for two people seemingly diametrically opposed to be able to have a conversation where both of them were listening with open ears and patience and kindness. That's the Holy Spirit. And it felt good to be a part of it. Today I want to talk about action. I want to talk about getting things done. And part of it is that discussion. Part of it is that growth. Yeah. So we'll start with some scriptures. The first one, they're both in Matthew. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28, the parable of the two sons. Jesus is talking to his disciples as usual. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in the vineyard." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward, he regretted it and went. The man came to the second son and said the same thing. And he answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him, and you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward, so as to believe him." all of us believe that we're the good guy in the story. As a young man, I did not live my life well. As a young man, in my arrogance and my pride, in my anxiety and my stress and my anger, I believed that I knew what the thing that was right, the right way, the right thing to do. However, my father was a pastor. And I didn't, he was a good man, so I didn't want to, you know, make him look bad. So I would come and go through the motions. You understand what I'm saying? I'd come, I'd sit in the church, I would sing in the thing, and, you know, sing in the choir and come, and I got baptized, and I did all of it, all of it, all of it. But in my mind, I was filled with resentment, with anxiety, with disbelief. I'm the second son. Yes, Dad, I'll do it. I'll go. But I wasn't doing the actual work. Even when I was out there running amok, getting into everything that causes death, I thought to myself, well, I'm not like all of them that are doing. This is just temporary. Do you understand? I saw myself as a good person doing bad things so I could justify the bad things that I was doing. That's the enemy's way. When we're driving in traffic and we get angry, we think to ourselves, look at all these idiots around us. I think that all the time. My kids always tease me. One time we were driving into, they wanted to go to In-N-Out, and we were about to turn left, and the drive-thru was all the way out the parking lot, down into the street. And I was like, oh no, what are we going to do? Who are all these people? Don't they know that I need a double-double with cheese? But I'm one of the idiots driving. I'm driving thinking, who are all these idiots in my way? As the guy behind me, who is this idiot driving so slowly? And all of us are the second son, thinking to ourselves, if everybody was like me, man, this place would be all solved and figured out. It wasn't until I started doing the work that I've seen any amount of benefit. And there has been benefits. There's been growth. There's still ways, miles to go. But the beauty of the Holy Spirit, the beauty of the gospel is that my journey's not over. When I'm 85, my journey's not over. When I'm 160, the journey's not over. I'm constantly growing because there's constantly new work to be done. Every day, the Lord says, will you go do work in the field? And then I do it or I don't. The words mean nothing, and everybody can sniff out BS. I told my kids, we got to have a family game night. So they get out the board games, play the games. And Aiden says, I'm not going to get mad like you did last time. And my knee jerk was actually, how dare you? Me? How could a son talk to his father wise in counsel? That was my knee jerk reaction. I was like, you didn't be mad. And then I left, and because there's been growth, before I would have just walked away muttering to myself and resent, well, he just doesn't get it. That's what kids these days, they just don't, you know, they don't talk to their parents like they used to. That's how I would have reacted, but now since there's growth, I've realized, yeah, that's true, I do get angry often at things like that. Video games, board games, anything where there's a potential of me losing. But it's not until I'm ready to accept that I can work on it and that there can be growth. How many people, when they're presented with a mirror of their own bad actions, justify it? How many people say, I'm going to start tomorrow? How many people say, it's the other person? The last long-term relationship that I had, we both thought of each other as the person who needed to be changed. Both of us saying, yeah, we're doing the right thing, but not putting in the action, and both of us drift apart. It's just the truth. If I had been willing to humble myself, things would be different. in all manner of things. It's yourself that needs to change, even with a person who's demonstrably wrong. Even with a person who is actually an idiot driving, it's up to you to change your attitude towards them. Because the Lord says, love your neighbor, not love your neighbor if. It's the ability to love the person who drives terribly that will set you free. It's the ability to be able to play Monopoly with your kids, even when they're cheating, that will set you free. They don't gotta change, I gotta change. They don't need to go plow the vineyard, I gotta do it. Every day, when the Lord says, will you work, Gabriel? I gotta say yes, because there's always work to be done. And the Father is faithful to pay his wages. This last Friday in chapel, they were singing praise. Not as well as us, Amelia. But they were singing praise, and they were singing a song that Darcy sang when she was sick. It's called Oceans. They sing it often, even though I resent them privately for it. I don't know why. And before, every time they'd play it, I would leave. Because the pain of it was so bad. Before I started working on myself, every time that song would come on, I would feel resentment. I would feel anger. Where's the justice? A person who lives their life so well, self-loathing. How many times did I do wrong? I should be the one. I deserve. But the Father is faithful to pay his wages. And as I followed him, he's granted me peace in that. He's granted me a modicum of self-forgiveness, and he's granted me the calm assurance that one day I will see her again. Paid in full for work that I've done. Had I continued to live my life the way that I did when she was still here, I would not have that peace. That's the gospel. That any bad thing can be turned right. Any tear the enemy sows can be weeded out. If you go in the vineyard and do your work. Matthew chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus is healing. And the Pharisees say, he's casting out devils by using the power of the devil. Jesus says, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? The enemy is in here. He's in here. And he's gathered up all my peace. He's gathered up all of my children's respect. He's gathered up all my happiness. And he's clothed himself in armor and he's determined to keep it. But I go to work. I go to work every day and I walk in that house and I tear it off. And I'm going to plunder his house. I'm going to take it all back. Because those are the wages of the person who works for the Father. The wages of the person who's willing to wait patiently while all the idiots drive terribly. Will be able to be a calm and peaceful person driving through in and out, and their children will see that. The peace of mind that I have when I've prayed and am listening to the Holy Spirit allows me to pass through this life that everybody complains about happy. Wages paid in full. Everyone believes that we should be happy, and then they justify their unhappiness. I was talking with a coworker about lottery tickets or whatever, and they were waiting to win the lottery. There's nothing wrong with playing the lottery. If you win the lottery, can I borrow some money? But we were talking, and I was like, oh, yeah, man, I read this article about, like, the lottery curse. I had actually done this. And people who win the lottery often are unhappier than they were before when they were still broke. Because once they win the lottery, all the vultures come in, right? And then they get a divorce, and their wife takes blah, blah, blah. All of these things that go on. And everybody kind of knows the intrinsic truth that money can't buy happiness, right? If you're happy poor, you can be happy rich. There's nothing wrong with money. But money, if you're unhappy, will not make you happy. And we were kind of all talking about this universal truth. And then there was kind of a pause. And one of them was like, yeah, but if I won the lottery, I'd be happy. And then everybody else was like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's right. You're right. And then we all just realized the truth. The Lord revealed the truth to us. And then we all closed it back up. Yeah, well, maybe they would. Right? But not me. I talk to my students every day ad nauseum about how you got to work hard and how you got to do this and that. And that's the key to success. Like adults have been telling children since Jump Street. And all of the kids know that that's true for everyone else, but not them, because it's different. And then they rationalize all of their not doing homework ways. Well, maybe it was different for you, Mr. Frazier, back in the Stone Age when they didn't have cell phones, but now TikTok has taught us we don't need to do that. And the enemy closes them off from the vineyard. When I walk into a place and there's a difficult customer, and the Lord reveals to me that person's in pain and they're having a difficult day. They're taking it out on you, and that's not right, but God says to love them. And I go to work, and then the devil says, yeah, but, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. And I close myself off from the work. The Lord reveals to me that I got to make this change in my life. And then the enemy says, yeah, but you're busy. That's right, I am busy. And I close myself off from the vineyard. Day after day, we're just closed off. There's no person in their right mind who thinks that killing and lying and stealing and all of those things brings happiness. And yet so many people live their life in misery because they rationalize it. They don't want to do the work because the work's hard. I've gotten better and better at my prayer time. And I only bring it up because of the dividends it's paid. I've said this a million times. Before I started taking my walk with Jesus seriously, and I would talk with Dad, and he'd be like, I come up here for 4 hours and pray. I would think things like, I'd rather shoot myself in the leg than pray every day for 4 hours. I'd think, how could you even? What would you do? Because in my current state of affairs back then, the idea of praying for any amount of time was like climbing Mount Everest. There was no way it was going to happen. And so I would think to myself, yeah, I should pray, but I'm busy, dude. I got to get up in the morning. Well, you know, we got things to do, man. It wasn't until I started to do the work that I got any amount of relief from that. And the more that I do it, the more that I understand. The more that I do it, the more the Lord reveals the tares that I need to take out. The more tares I take out, the more that I see. And it grows exponentially. It grows in a way that's tremendous. It grows in a way that fills me with peace, that no matter how many bottles that I drank or things that I smoked or women that I had would ever give me, And nobody who hasn't touched that or felt that from the outside, it's brought down into this little, Jesus, you'll go to heaven. And people are like, well, I don't believe in that anyways. But dude, it's so much more than that. Talk to people at Trader Joe's, wonderful people, and they look at Christianity from the outside and they think, what do you have to offer me? And most of us don't got much. But the more I work, the more dividends I'm paid. And the more I'm paid, the more it shows. And the more it shows, the more they will come to me. Gabe, how on earth did you manage to plunder that house? I worked, dude. I worked, I worked, I worked, I worked, and I took it off piece by piece. It is as true as the sky is blue. Those who do the work, you reap what you sow. People twist that into thinking like, well, bad people get what they deserve. Brother, I'm telling you, flip that around. It's irrelevant what happens to them. You reap what you sow. Sow good seeds and then bask in the richness, dude. Soak it up because it's good. It is good. It's good and it's ours. It's ours by right. And it's been stolen. Take it back. This week, take it back. Do the work. Do not let the enemy lie to you. Start your day with prayer. Do it. Not for him. He already loves you. Do it for you. And then be faithful to walk it out. If the Lord reveals to you, hey, Gabe, you know that conversation that you had with Emilio? You were wrong. And then the enemy says, yeah, but shut that down. You were wrong, Gabe. Admit it. Let it go. And move forward. And then enjoy all of the peace that there is to have. Your journey is not my journey. I cannot tell you how to get there. But there is a guide, and he is faithful. If you will ask him. People live their lives the same way day after day and think like, what is going on? I lived my life a terrible mess. And then be like, why do I always get these envelopes with red on them? Why do people always, like I didn't already know. I just didn't want to admit it to myself. You're not Harry Potter, Gabe. Because you don't behave like him. You can't act like Voldemort and then pretend that all the good things are going to happen to you. It's a Harry Potter reference. I don't know if you get it. Work. When the Lord calls you to work, work. When you're at your job and there's a person who's difficult, work. If you're waiting for them to work, you're going to be waiting a long time. If there's difficulty in your marriage and your children, work. Don't let it fall apart. Don't let them grow away. Work. Get after it. And he will be faithful to pay you your wages. Pressed down, shaken together and overflowing. I'll close with this. There's a famous quote. I'm going to paraphrase and say wrong now. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be peaceful. Everybody wants the good things in life. Don't wait for them. Want them and go get them. When the school flooded, the the enemy started to whisper all of the bad things that could possibly happen. We don't have money for that. The Lord will provide. He'll provide me with peace of mind in the meantime. He'll provide me with people like Stephen and Greg and Daniel and Judd and all of the people, Hector, that make it work. We just got to do it. When you wake up in the middle of the night afraid, that's when you go to work. When you're driving in traffic and some idiot cuts you off, that's when you go to work. When some person says some unthoughtful thing to you, that's when you go to work. That's when you take back what's yours. You take back your peace. You take back your happiness. You take back your respect. And he will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. I gave you the job and you did it. Be blessed this week. Be blessed this week. Be blessed this week. Start your week off. Start your day off. The phone's going to start chirping at you. People are going to start talking to you. And if you haven't gone to work, they're going to steal it from you. Greater is he who is with me than he who is against me. Even all the rain, even all the people on the 405, how dare they get in my way? I take it back. I go to work." If you bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for what you've done for me and what you've done for the people in here. And thank you for what you're going to do. Help us this, Lord, this week, Lord. Give us ears to hear. And then give us the courage to go to work. Help guide our path. Help us to arrange our schedule in such a way that we're able to go to work, that we're able to put you first. Give us the wisdom and discernment to see when the enemy tries to steal from us. And give us the courage and integrity to stop him. Bless us this week in our jobs, in our families, in our marriages, in our children's. Bless us and bring us back next week filled with good news of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.